Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Happy weekend to everyone. We had a happy Wednesday. We were at the Silver Spring Mining. We were at Red Brick Station. I've been to Silver Spring Mining too. Hey, Gary, I'm coming up to see you too. It's hockey season. Maybe it's Caps and Maple Leafs. Wouldn't that be something? We had the Back to the Future scratch-offs when we were at Red Brick Station in White Marsh. Spent way too much time in White Marsh. Bill Blocker joined us with his beautiful daughter, Cade. We also had Nick Stewart running for Baltimore County Executive. We hear that all weekend long here. And next weekend, I'll be doing not just Preakness without sovereignty. No Triple Crown around here this week. We'll have some Preakness coverage next week. But we'll be at the Maryland Party in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Encore Pool talking to business and just Baltimore leaders. Quite frankly, it's a big event. We'll be out there for that next weekend. Luke will be here monitoring all things Oriole baseball. I'm done beating him up. I'm just going to give you the floor and let you play the bad guy here. They have found creative ways to lose, man, and not hitting the ball. I'm now on Team Luke. I'm off of Team Nestor. I'm on Team Luke. The hitting's the problem, Luke.
Well, no, the pitching's a problem too. It's just, I've said this and I'm at the point where I'm tired of having my blood pressure go up in the midst of these segments. Not towards you, but just at the state of affairs when you have a
it's
baseball
all right.
team
Take
that's.
it out on me. They've been doing that for decades around here.
But when you have a baseball team that's 13-23 and sinking like a rock, I mean, it's just. This feels just very, very broken at this point in time. And I know that there wasn't a whole lot of happiness about the offseason. I know there wasn't certainly the same level of optimism going into this year than there was last year. But anyone who said that they saw this coming is lying. I mean, this, not saying the team, regressing, not saying the team missing the playoffs, but this. Talking about them being on pace to lose 100 games this bad, no one saw it being this bad. So,
man, if you bet the under out in Vegas, you'd have
yeah,
been
I mean,
really in good shape.
Vegas certainly liked the Orioles still, even after the offseason being what it
I
was.
think the over
But
under was 88, 89 most
yeah,
places. Yeah.
exactly. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Not 66 or something, like what we were talking about during the rebuild years. But I mean, this is just. What we saw on Thursday. First of all, let's start with the positive. We are Baltimore positive after all. Dean Kramer pitched his butt off. I mean, he pitched really, really well. I mean, you could certainly ask, why didn't you send him back out there for the eighth inning even with the bottom of the order starting that inning? But, I mean, they didn't score runs. They didn't score. They hit the ball in the sense that they had opportunities. I mean, they had 10 hits. They had guys on base just about every inning. Through what the second through what the sixth inning, I guess it was, where they racked up all these runners in scoring position opportunities and they went 2 for 13. One of those hits resulted in a man thrown out at the plate, which still kind of thought he might have been safe, but maybe not. I mean, obviously, New
I
York
don't know
thought
how
it
they get the
differently.
replays wrong. I mean, when they called Holiday out of second base on that steal the other day, I'm like,
Yeah,
how do
it's.
you, where was that?
I will say this with some of those, and obviously we're talking about a detail that's not relevant to the big picture, but I will say with some of those, like the one angle, I thought for sure he was safe at the plate, but then the angle that they showed that was kind of almost from the third base coaching box perspective, I looked at the angle, I'm like, okay, maybe he did get the tag in right before he touched the plate, but that just speaks to how things have gone for them. As we've said, they've also been unlucky on top of everything that's just been plain bad, right? Injuries and things of that nature. But I mean, you go 2 for 13 with runners in scoring position. We've talked a lot about the body language. We've talked a lot about, that looking like they've been defeated. That was painful on Thursday. I mean, you saw Heston Kerstad, I mean, just with awful at bats, and you saw the frustration on his face. To his credit, he talked to the media after the game. There are certain individuals in that clubhouse that have been scarce post game. And I've seen that in previous generations of
Rutschman.
Orioles too. Sure, I haven't seen Gunnar Henderson in the clubhouse as frequently as I used to, but
Everybody's a good winner,
Every
Luke.
sure,
Everybody's
sure.
Mark Andrews is out there when he's winning. You know what I mean?
But
Like, and that's where I learn the most about people when they're losing.
I think just seeing the level of frustration, it was in plain sight. After those at bats, during those at bats, swinging at bad pitches, poor swing decisions, not commanding the strike zone, all of that. It's just, where do you go from here? And I think at this point in time, I'll say this just as an observation. This isn't a commentary, it's an observation. I'm not sure I've ever seen Orioles fans as angry as they are right now. And that is something that I completely understand. We're talking about two generations of lousy baseball in this town over the last 40 years, save for a handful of years of respite and good baseball, but very fleeting periods of time. 96, 97, the Buck Showalter, Dan Duquette era, and 2 years of the Mike Elias era. And other than that, nothing to write home about. So fans who sat through this rebuild have every right to be furious and frustrated and upset and ticked off, and they want a pound of flesh. And I'm guessing they're going to get it at some point here in the near future. What exactly it's going to be, if it's going to be Brandon Hyde, if it's going to be the hitting coaches at the very least.
But
It
none of
feels
it's going to fix the pitching.
well, and that's where you need to start looking at this differently. If you're Mike Elias, assuming Mike Elias isn't going to lose his job, certainly not expecting that in
Dude,
season.
I'm telling you right now, this is a new owner. I'm just going to continue
Who
to throw
knows?
this out
Who
that he didn't
knows?
hire any of these
Sure.
people.
Who knows? I look, all bets are off once you, but you're not going to see a general manager fired in May or June, right? That's almost always a move that's September or after the season. So viewing it through that lens, understanding there's an unknown to that element of it. But if you're Mike Elias, you run baseball ops. You run baseball ops until David Rubenstein and the rest of the ownership group tells you that you don't anymore. So you have to start looking at this through the lens of how do you fix this? And I don't necessarily mean how do you fix this for the rest of 2025, because you're already at a point now to just win 86 games. I think you have to play at a 94 win pace the rest of the year. To your point, I don't think the pitching will be good enough to remotely do that. It's why I didn't pick them to win 94 games to begin the season. That was even with healthy Zach Eflin, who is supposed to pitch on Sunday. That was with an assumption that Grayson Rodriguez was going to be back, somewhat sooner than later,
He came back right now, it would be soon, and it wouldn't be soon enough.
Sure. And
Yeah.
that's acknowledging, Kyle Bradish could be in play in August and September, same with Tyler Wells. So for me, I'm trying to look at this more practically speaking. And that's not to say that if Brandon Hyde's let go at some point between now and Memorial Day, then so be it, right? Everything about this team right now is not providing a solution, right? Do I think this is all Brandon Hyde's fault? Hardly. Far from it. But do I think Brandon Hyde is the brilliant tactician slash motivator slash next, Earl Weaver incarnate that?
Player whisperer of young players.
Do I think he's that? No. Do I think that the Orioles can't find another manager that would be really good moving forward? No. I say this all the time. I constantly reject the idea that there's one right guy for any of these jobs. I think there's a select group that you have to find. You can certainly find the wrong one, but I think there are plenty of right guys out there. So I know that fans are fixated on that part of this right now, and I understand it. Someone, even the team, this team feels like it's waiting for something to happen, right? Whether it's the manager being fired, coaches being fired, players getting sent to AAA, players being DFA'd, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
Something
reading
like
Twitter
that. It
too, and
feels
none
that
of it
way.
makes any sense to me if I'm David Rubenstein, and I'm trying to figure out what David Rubenstein's going to do, not
Sure.
with Mike Elias. Mike Elias has already done everything he can do.
No,
Brandon
I
Hyde's
disagree
doing
with
everything
that.
he can do, right? Like,
I don't agree with
they're
that. I
trying
mean,
hard.
I don't agree with that because Mike Elias is in charge. Brandon Hyde doesn't answer to David Rubin. It's not like the Ravens hierarchy. The Ravens have general manager, head coach. They both answer to the owner. The Orioles don't have that structure. Mike Elias hired Brandon Hyde. Brandon Hyde answers to Mike Elias. So I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure what David Rubenstein's going to do in season. Now, come the off season come September, let's say, if this team is losing 100 games, then that's a way different discussion.
By the way, Leonard
So
Raskin this week said, "Well, that's what bad owners do. They listen to their fans in these times. They read the internet too much and fi start firing
there's some of
managers."
that,
Where,
sure.
yeah, I mean,
There's
and this
absolutely,
guy's new, and I don't
but
know what he's going to do. I really don't know
sure.
what he. I this is a complete wild card. I just know he could walk away from this as the billionaire guy, which he's done many times, being a billionaire, wins and losses and hurting people's feelings and, manage however he manages himself and manages his money. I know how he's managed me. I know how the people around him have managed me. I haven't dug it. So, like, we'll see. And for you to say there's a structure, I don't even know if they know what their structure is yet. Greg Bader's still running around there. I don't know if they know what their structure is at this point. It's enough to say Rubenstein's on the phone with Mike Elias, and Mike says, "Well, let's, but well, because that's what they do. They fire the manager to save their job, right? The manager says, no, it's the hitting coach. Let's save my
Right.
job." That's how this. That's what happens when this happens. And these people aren't friends. They don't know each other. I mean, they've been here a year. They're figuring it out. This is a Rubenstein question as much as it's an Elias question for me. Because guess what? I've been here a long time, Luke. Rubenstein's going to survive them all. He'll be here when neither one of these guys are here because they're not his guys. And I kind of learned that the hard way with Bisciotti, who
Yeah.
fell in with Ozzie Newsome. And certainly Eric DaCosta, but did not with Brian Billick at all.
Yeah. And that's a fair point. But again, I'm not sure what David Rubenstein's doing on May 9th or May 20th.
Or that he should do any. I don't
Right.
know.
Exactly.
I we're not
So that's where.
prepared for this season. How could
Right.
they be prepared for
Sure.
it?
No question. No question. So
You don't
that's.
prepare for failure, you prepare for success.
But that's why I am going to. Like Elias, because until otherwise, until we learn otherwise, he is in charge of baseball operations under the old ownership group, and we've seen no indication that David Rubenstein is remotely hands-on as it pertains to baseball operations. And I'm not saying he should be, right? I mean, I don't think you want Peter Angelos circa 1999 as far as your dynamic with your owner in your front office. So.
I think you're going to get it either way because he's got a big investment and things are falling apart here, and he's
Well,
going to feel like it's his role to roll his sleeves up for in some way, whatever that is.
I think that's where we have to go back to. If you're Mike Elias, I'm not sure that the objective even at this point is salvaging 2025. I think the objective is you've got to get your young position players back on track. Adley Rutschman, I mean, this has been almost a calendar year now where this guy is painfully ordinary at best. I mean, he was worse than that in the second half last year. Gunnar Henderson looked like arguably the MVP of the league the first half of last year, was good but unspectacular the second half of last year, and has been ordinary so far this year. Of all their young core position players, there's one guy trending up right now, and it's Jackson Holliday. And let's be clear, it's not like Jackson Holliday is playing like an MVP. He's playing well, but he's not playing extraordinary. So right off the bat, I'm looking at this almost like when you're back at the beginning of the rebuild in terms of what's your vision? How are you building this roster? What do you value in terms of what you're going to build to be the strengths of your club? And it was always supposed to be offense, right? We know that. That's why they've drafted college hitters and, with the exceptions of guys like Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday, who were high school kids, but still shortstops, position players, hitters. So I'm starting right off the bat. How do I get these guys back on track? Do we need a new manager? Do we need a new hitting coach? Do we need both? Do we need a sports psychologist at this point? Because it just feels like these guys, and look, the manager and the coaching staff, that's part of what they do. So that's where I look at this thing and say, if Brandon Hyde doesn't know how to get the best out of these young players that are so allegedly so talented, if Cody Ashea and the other hitting coaches don't know how to get the best out of these young players, if our player development needs to be revamped because our offense has taken a turn since late June of last year and is only getting worse, not getting better, then I need to get to work on fixing all of those things. And if that means I somehow find a way to salvage 2025 to the point where this team can get back in the race in the second half of the season and be at least semi-relevant, like say in the way they were in 2022. I don't think anyone really bought that they were going to make the playoffs, but go back and look in the wild at the wild card standings in September of 22. They were in it. They were in it mathematically. They weren't a favorite and they came up short. But if you can do that in the process for the rest of 25, great. But for me, this is now about 2026 and moving forward. And what do you do? Because the answer is not remotely, oh, you've got to rebuild again. If Michael Elias would tell you that, then the first thing I would say as ownership is I would say bye. You know, like that's not it. That's not an option. You know, you can't be thinking in those terms yet. And I don't think Elias is thinking in those terms because he knows that too. He knows he's not going to get another multi-year rebuild or anything like that, nor should he. So what can you do beginning today? And, you know, looking at, you know, they're playing in Anaheim this weekend. We'll see what happens. You know, if you win 2 out of 3, does anyone really feel that much better about the state of affairs? Even if you sweep the Angels, does anyone really feel better about the state of affairs? Not really. So I think it is interesting to see what happens when they come home. And, you know, we're talking about the off day on Monday. And what changes, if any, are made at that point in time? You know, fans want a pound of flesh. I mean, I think the majority of this fan base at this point would say that Brandon Hyde should be gone. You know, I've already said to you, I'm not going to argue against that premise. But you know, to me, at the very least, I don't know how you're not looking at your hitting coaches, seeing that the Texas Rangers, who are a couple years removed from a World Series, I mean, they fired their hitting coach.
Pirates fired their manager this week.
I don't think anyone should be taking cues for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but sure. Yeah. I mean, it speaks to, I'm not sure you can sit here and just say it's early anymore, right? Because they've buried themselves. I mean, you're at a point, you know, in the, from a math standpoint, I get it. Like people will say, if you're trying to be as optimistic as you can, you say, well, they're 4.5 months to go, Luke. But the reality is when you're 13 and 23, just to get to 86 and 76. So we're talking 10 games over 500, which may or may not be good enough for the final wild card spot. I mean, they've got to play like a 94 win team the rest of the way. You know what, when you've got to go 73 and 53 from this point on just to get to 86 wins. So, I mean, they buried themselves. And I don't think anyone thinks that even if they're pitching, which gets healthier with Zach Eflin, with Kittredge in the bullpen, with, I don't know, let's say of Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish, and Tyler Wells, let's be optimistic. Let's say two of them contribute in the second half of the season. That would be optimistic. Is that going to be enough? I mean, are they going to win enough games until that point in time that it's going to matter? So that's again where you start looking at this thing, look at this thing and say, what can we do to best position ourselves for 2026? What can we do to best position ourselves for this coming off season? What needs to change? What needs to change on the coaching front? What needs to change on the front office front? What needs to change on a development scouting standpoint? Who needs to play? Who needs to be shipped out of here? If we're calling a spade a spade, you know, I would assume we're going to see Kobe Mayo sent back down here over the next couple of days because Tyler O'Neill and Jordan Westberg are on the way back. But, you know, I kind of look at the current lineup and look, everyone's struggling. I'm not trying to scapegoat one or two or three guys because everyone's struggled other than Ryan O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins until the last couple of weeks where Mullins has tailed off, but is still having a really good season overall. But I don't know, Nestor. I look at someone like Ryan Mountcastle. Go look at his number since last July. You know, Mountcastle's getting closer and closer to free agency, and I'm not, other than good defense at first base, I'm not sure what he's really given you at this point in time. That's not to say I'm handing Kobe Mayo the starting job long term, no questions asked, but the rest of this year, and I'm not saying right now, this might be more of a second half of the season thing. And I don't know if some team wants to give you pitch a pitcher who's controlled beyond this season. And something like that, then maybe you use Kobe Mayo for that. If not, you need to play Kobe Mayo because Ryan Mountcastle's not doing the job anymore, and it hasn't been doing the job for quite some time. Certainly shouldn't be in the cleanup spot. So there's just, and I'm I'm not fixating on that. I'm using that as an example where you almost have a mindset where for the rest of the season, you kind of get back into the mode that you were when you were still rebuilding. Because at this point, Ryan Mountcastle is a non-tender kind of guy. I mean, that's how he's played this year. So even if he gets back on track, does he carry the kind of value that you're going to get anything in a trade?
Well, you're also asking where are the at-bats, right?
Exactly. So that, but that's where
But Mayo's got to hit the ball to take that job.
I understand, but he also has to play to take that job, right? I'm not sure
So, in
what
other words, if somebody's going to hit 212, you'd rather
I'd
have it be
rather it be
Mayo.
Kobe Mayo at this
Sure.
point.
Okay.
And again,
And
that's not
especially
me.
because you can't win, because you
And that's
can't
not
win.
right. And that's not me saying this right now, like next week. That's more of a
Late next month when you're 14
July,
games under 500 next month.
August,
Right.
September kind of thing. And that's also assuming Ryan Mountcastle continues to perform like this. And this is
Dude,
kind of how he.
let me not make a joke here, but let me just say this out loud. If they play 500 ball the next month, that would feel miraculous to me. That would keep them 10 games under 500.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
If
you can. Yes, it's
they play
early.
five over 500, they go 25 and 20 before the All-Star break. I wouldn't take them to the All-Star, but take them to the end of June. They go
They get them, yeah.
25 and 20, they're still 5 games under 500.
Which, maybe you're a little more optimistic. And look, we know the American League as a whole is not very good, but again, how much of a role are you going to be able to go on when your pitching is what it is, coupled with your hitting that, it's not underperforming anymore. It's not underwhelming.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's
Yeah.
been bad, right? I mean, it's been a bottom 10
And
kind of an
Kramer and
offense.
Shogano have given him a chance to win. Eflin might give him a chance to win when he comes back this week. I don't know about Gibson, and I certainly feel like Morton. We're just
Yeah.
we're you know
I
we're
mean,
we're being silly with those guys. And I feel the same way about Povich and these other guys, thinking that every fifth day they're going to give you a chance to win. Hey, dude, I just put Kramer in there, and I don't trust him.
sure, right. And this is where, if you're Mike Elias, you're looking at what the path was, what the plan was for this team to contend and be good. It's kind of what you just laid out. Like even Dean Kramer, you'd say, okay, Dean Kramer's not going to give us a 3-2 ERA, but we think it'll be around four or maybe a hair over four. But we think we're going to have an offense that's going to average somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 runs per game. Might not be exactly that, but go look at the best offenses in baseball right now. The Cubs and the Yankees and Tigers, they're all averaging 5.5 runs a game. Even if you're say like the Phillies, they're at 4.9. The Red Sox are at 4.9. So the Orioles are expected to be in that territory. So if you're allowing just over 4 runs a game or something along those lines, but you're scoring 4.8, 4.9, 5 runs per game, that's going to equate to still winning more games than you lose, right? And still being a formidable team.
Kind of where the
Even,
Red Sox are, right?
yeah. But that hasn't happened. So that's where I go back to, for me, this isn't about acting because I'm mad. Fans are mad and understandably so, right? I understand fans are ticked off. I think you can tell I've been ticked off watching what we've seen because it's just been bad, not entertaining baseball. But I think at the same time, if you're Mike Elias, you've got to look at this practically speaking and saying, okay, we're 13 and 23 and we're going nowhere fast. And the math would tell you that our playoff odds are pretty slim at this point in time. I mean, that's just the truth. That doesn't mean that we're tearing everything down and rebuilding, but we need to start looking at this with a big picture sight in mind in terms of how do we fix this? How do we get this back on track? I mean, unless you just think all the young position core players are fraudulent in terms of their ability, then they are screwed. Then you are talking about that, but I don't think we're there yet. Certainly don't think
Well,
we're
we're
there
certainly
yet.
not talking about trading Jackson Holliday for Garrett Crochet this year.
No. So you have to look at this in terms of how are you getting these guys back on track? And again, what's Brandon Hyde doing to get the most out of these players? Doesn't look like whatever he's trying to do. And that's not to say he's not trying. It's not to say it's his fault, even, but this is where you start looking, okay, we have all these problems. We need to start identifying the solutions. And we haven't seen enough evidence going back to last July that Brandon Hyde's part of the solution to this. I mean, again, let's take a step back. When Brandon Hyde was hired, what, 3 weeks after Mike Elias, back in the fall of 2018 going into that offseason. What did we say at the time? I mean, this guy's the caretaker, right? This is the guy. He's Bo Porter for the Astros before they hire their AJ Hinch. I mean, we all said that at the time. And to his credit, to this team's credit, to these young players, their credit, they turned the corner so quickly, so rapidly in 22. I mean, they were bad. I mean, they were 10 games under 500 in mid-June, and then suddenly they reel off what, the 10-game winning streak or whatever in early July, and suddenly it's like, hey, these guys are good. And they were good the rest of the year. So it's a credit to him. It's a credit to everything that happened then. But at the same time, you also have to be realistic about this thing and say that, okay, this isn't just a 13 and 23 start. This is going back to the end of last June that this team just hasn't been the same. And yeah, the pitching injuries are a big part of that. But guess what? That's baseball. If your path to success is hoping all your pitchers are going to stay healthy in 2025, that's not a plan. That's a Hail Mary. So that's part of why I've had the issue that I've had with their philosophy in terms of not doing enough on the pitching front. And it's not to say they have, I've heard some people say they can't develop pitching. They've developed some pitchers and they've had some success stories. I mean, look at some of the reclamation projects they've had. I don't think they're completely clueless on that front. But at the same time, if you're not drafting pitchers till the fifth round on average, you kind of go through. I mean, I even looked at this recently. 2019, the earliest round they drafted a pitcher, the eighth round. 2020, the fifth round. 2021, fifth round. 2022, guess what? They drafted a pitcher in the third round. They didn't sign him. And he's with the Mets now. It's Nolan McLean. He's a top 100 prospect. Trace Bright, they drafted in the fifth round in 22. 2023, third and fourth round. 2024, fourth round. So if you actually go and look the last couple of years, they have started to veer into drafting a little more pitching than they had in the past. But is that enough? Are you doing enough in terms of making trades and making signings? Not
Well,
signing
Rodriguez
41?
was really the only arm that has been a guy over the last 3 or 4 years that you felt like was front of rotation guy. You didn't, you
Yeah.
never felt like any of the rest of these.
Yeah, I mean DL
Bradish, I
Hall,
mean, right?
Bradish ended up being the pleasant surprise in that you didn't really think he was going to be that guy, but he performed like
They
it.
thought Keegan Aiken might be that guy at one
I mean,
point, right?
DL Hall, who obviously had his issues staying healthy, and it's been the same story with him with Milwaukee, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, of the premier type prospects, the only one they really inherited that ended up being a horse even through the minor leagues was Grayson Rodriguez. Now, of course, he's broken down again and again, and now
But
you think about
amidst
him
all of
differently.
that, there was, just in a general sense, you didn't need to be the world's biggest fan or a Baseball America reader. Rutschman, Henderson,
Sure. No
Basayo,
doubt.
Mayo, even Norby and Stowers were guys that like were, Stowers in the big leagues, right? I mean,
Playing
you
well.
know, all of the names of all of that log jam of talent that turned into Corbin Burnes last year, right? Like that was all, but it wasn't pitching. It wasn't
Yeah,
pitching.
no, it wasn't. But you look at that and you see how that part of the plan has gone, and you start to say, this needs to be adjusted
Well, that part of
because
the plan 12 months ago was perfect.
maybe
12
so.
months ago, we checked in and said, "Oh my God, Jackson Holliday's going to get here.
Yeah.
Mayo's going to get here. Hey, man, Kerstad might get here. Stowers, you might deal him."
Yeah.
And but like Rutschman, Henderson, Westberg's here. He's good. Couser's going to strike out a little bit, but he's going to play nice outfield. Moo, he's
Yeah.
good. Like it felt like all of the cakes were baked at the right time
Sure.
a year ago, and now it's just a friggin' disaster, man.
Yeah, no question. And that's where, and believe me, I don't want to say this coming across as a Mike Elias apologist because you've heard me be critical of certain elements of what Mike Elias has done, even going back 2 or 3 years. I mean, you go back to like say 2022 when their pitching acquisition was Jordan Lyles, and for me the thought was, you should be dialing this up because you want to be hitting the ground running when Adley Rutschman gets here later this season, and some of these Gunnar Henderson arrives later this season. So there were times where I've questioned things. However, to your very point that you just made, when you think about where this was a year ago and how badly this has gone off the rails, I mean, the injuries are a big part of that. There's no question about that. But That's where, if I am Mike Elias, I am looking at this thing like you're kind of like pulling your hair out, like what the heck happened? Like what has gone so wrong? We've talked
Well,
so
the
much.
pitching injuries are the first thing.
Yeah, no question. But we've talked so much about this offense, though. Like, what happened last July where we've just seen this thing dissipate ever since? And that's where, is there a blind spot in your player development? Is there something that teams have identified in how you do things, your approach that you're completely susceptible now? I'm not saying it's a smoking gun, like, oh, well, just the Orioles split finger fastballs all the time and they can't hit that. It's not that simplistic, but is there something in your approach that teams have just completely exploited? And I know the easy thing would say, well, they were too reliant on the home run. Go look at the best offenses in baseball. Everyone hits home runs today. And that's not to say you can get away with not being able to do other things, but I think that's too simplistic. But man, this is where you look at this thing, and for all these guys, I mean, morale is bad. It doesn't mean they hate Brandon Hyde. It doesn't mean that they don't respect Brandon Hyde. But I don't need to be a you don't need to be a fly on the wall in the Orioles clubhouse right now to know that morale is bad. I mean, they're 13-23 in a season where expectations were high, on the heels of a disappointing second half and being bounced last year in October. So.
And they're coming home on Monday, one way or another. They're going to play in the middle of the night all weekend, right? So they're sort of out
Sure.
of sight, out of mind a little bit. But people have tickets next week, and they're going down, and they're getting their bobbleheads,
Especially
and
the
they're doing stuff.
Washington series, the weekends next week. I don't think anyone's going to be at the Minnesota series. There's nothing appealing about the Twins that, when you look at the schedule in
Well, there is
January,
Danny
but
Coulomb.
there is. Well, there's another example of a deal where, it's kind of small potatoes in the big picture sense, but. Like, what was that evaluation? To save $4 million on Danny Coulomb and you kept CNL Perez instead? I mean, it didn't have to be an either or for one thing, but anyway. But yeah, you look at this homestand that's coming up. I mean, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Minnesota. I mean, the Thursday game is a afternoon business, businessman special, 12:35 start. Those games, whatever.
I'll be
But
at Fade Lease at the crab races that day. Let me plug that.
this weekend where, Washington's coming in, not that the Nats are a juggernaut, but and we've already seen this. They've got some good young players. So I mean, they're a team that still is another year away, it feels like, but they're certainly good enough to take care of the Orioles. So it's going to be interesting
Well,
just to
if they
see
start
what.
getting booed at home and stuff, that's a little outside the realm of what we're used to around here, right? We've always been this genteel fan base. And I don't even like if Katie Greig spent the weekend with me and we sat around talking about baseball and the history of baseball here, the fact that you began this conversation by saying you've never seen the fan base this angry. I'm not a surfer, right? I'm not at all because, like, I took phone calls here of absurdity. What are you hearing? What are they hearing? Where is this anger, not just directed at Brandon Hyde or the hitting or whatever, but just give me some absurdities that you feel in regard to the anger, because I'm telling you, the anger's going to get taken out on Rubenstein, the players in the stadium, from the people who are the stakeholders, and the rest of us, and Raskin and I talk, we're just going to go away. And I saw a couple of things that I want to throw at you, okay? And this is just meathead stuff that I'm throwing out, but I screenshot a few of these. As far as like, I'm starting to see them a little bit, and I just want to read them the right way and make sure that that I'm being accurate. But there was one fellow who wrote to Ryan Ripken and said, "Hey, your dad's like an owner now. Hey, Ryan Ripken show. Can you have your dad on the show? Because dad interviewing the kids the way we should do this if he's an owner, and ask him if he's cool with how the team he's part owner of is performing. Can you ask him if he finds all of this acceptable and if he still wants to wait before firing people? Why?" So now they want Cal Ripken, so this is how this has got tentacles all the way through of I don't, the firing Hyde's not saving the season. It's not making the playoffs. It's not getting them to the winner's circle. Like, I don't know the pound the flesh thing part of this, but fans are yelling at Ripken
Yeah.
now. They're yelling, you know, and
Everyone's mad.
everyone's mad.
I think they're
Yes.
I to answer your question, and look, this is might even be more of the fans that are trending younger, who, may or may not have vivid memories of 14 straight years of losing from 98 through 2011. But I think there's very much a sentiment, and I've even expressed this tongue in cheek to people in my life, where you were subjected to what the Orioles did 2018, and obviously 2018 was not my. One thing that I've seen, I've even seen, I saw an article on CBSSports.com that was critical of Mike Elias. It talked about him being the overseer for 2018. Like, get your facts right at least. Mike Elias was hired after 2018. The Orioles did not deliberately start off tanking. They had the Adam Jones, Manny Machado, that era, Chris Davis era of players, and that era was duct taped together for one more year in 2018 and did not work. So if we need to at least be accurate, especially if we're talking about wanting to fire people. But I think that the overall gist that I get from a lot of people that have really tried to even just become a bigger fan in the last 5, 6 years is we sat through the rebuild for a year and a half of good baseball, and now we're right back where we started. Whether they're actually, I don't think they're actually right back where they started, but they've clearly taken a major, major step back in 2025. I just think there's a sense of betrayal, and this really goes in line with what I said to you, even going back to 2018 and 19, that baseball fans have a right to be cynical and skeptical and doubting about these multi-year rebuilds, because you already mentioned them in this conversation. The Pittsburgh Pirates are a perfect example of this. These teams that say they have these 5-year plans and, oh, we're not going to spend money now, but man, we got this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy in our minor league system, and they're on the come,
Drink awful coffee until such point when we
and
decide to
then
make it good.
we'll spend money. And then
Yeah.
that never happens. Either you never really get to a point where you're even at a point where it makes sense to spend money if you're viewing things through that lens, or enough bad happens where you say, oh, we've got to reevaluate where we are, or you're firing another manager, you're firing another general manager, and you're just in this
Well, look, the
perpetual
only
cycle.
fan that was foolish enough to trust John Angelos was the governor of this state. No one
Fair
else
enough.
trusted John Angelos or the Angelos family to really have a best foot forward in all of this. That's why this rebuild thing was a tanking period. You can call it
Sure.
rebuilding if you want. It was serving awful baseball and charging full price and saying later, we'll give you steak. We'll eat hamburger now or dog food now, and we'll turn it into filet mignon one day.
So
And
here's, but here's the
no
change.
other business in life can do that to you and get away with it. No one.
But I would also say if it's executed properly, it does work. It can work. The Orioles were not in a position, Nestor, you and I both know, as bad as they were in 2018, the dumbest thing they could have done was to go spend a bunch of money for 2019. To do what? To maybe have a 70 win team. I mean, that's where the Orioles were for the better part of 14 years, where they kind of half-heartedly tried, and at
But
times
if
they
you
even
own
spent
the
money.
team and you're pocketing $50 million a
Sure, no
year during that
question.
period of
People are going to
time,
be cynical of
you're
that.
carrying their water for them,
People are going to
Luke.
be
You know what I
cynical of
mean?
that.
You and anybody and they all everybody was, well, we can't, why spend now? We stink. I remember all those conversations. I said, you're
It was the
carrying the
truth at
dirty
the
water
time.
for Angelos and that because they're
But
just pocketing the money
because there's no
saying that
path.
they're going to spend it later and then they don't. Then they
But
don't.
at that point, there was no pathway for them to be good. But because things had burned down under the
Because the
previous
ownership
regime.
was terrible, not
Sure, no
because Buck and
question.
Dan Duquette were
No
terrible.
question. No question. Dan Duquette did a lousy
Well,
job
now
at
we're
that
going to
trade
find out
deadline.
what this ownership's about
Sure.
because they're going to make these decisions, and none of these people are their people. And I keep going back to the top of the party and saying
Maybe they will.
they're
Maybe they
all
will fire Mike
expendable
Elias.
because David Rubenstein will want to get. He's already got a bobblehead, dude. He's got. This is the point where you'll find out what he's about because he'll start hiding. He ain't going to be out. Cal don't want to be behind home plate when they're 24 and 43 3 weeks from now. You know what I mean? Like, I that there, I didn't read that to embarrass Cal or Ryan
Yeah.
Ripken. I'm just saying, like,
Well, and
people
let's
are
also,
asking
Cal's not the
for,
control person. Cal's not the,
but they
Cal
put
has
him
such,
out in front of it. To
I
some
understand, but
idiots, he
he's not the
is.
control person,
To
though.
some idiots, he is. Really. I
We
mean,
don't
I'm
need to
just
call,
saying, like,
I don't
to
want to call
people
him
in
an
the
idiot,
fan
but
base, dude, I've had people come on. I've had three
I
somewhat
understand that,
logical
but
people come up to me and say they're grooming Cal Ripken to run the franchise. You and I think that's absurd. I'm telling you, there's a huge percentage of their fan base that thinks, like, if they put Cal Ripken as the hitting coach on Monday, if that's what they announce, people would be okay with that. They would think that's fixed. You and I, somebody wants Bill Ripken to be the manager. I saw that. So I'm just saying, this is when
I
you have an
know, but
incensed fan base, this is what
I
fans
don't
are
think that's
saying.
the
And I
majority,
have no
though.
idea where David Rubenstein is. His last name is Ripken. Let's hire him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. First of all, we also need to remember it in the same way that it was the same thing with talk show calls. That's the vocal minority. I don't think that that's the overwhelming sense from Orioles fans. But the overwhelming sense from Orioles fans is that there's a lot of frustration because. And let me finish my thought that I was talking about, just the, being cynical and doubting and non-trusting about these rebuilds is it actually worked for the Orioles. They got to the point where they won 101 games. They got to the point, and I feel like everything that's happened, save for the Corbin Burnes trade, since the trade deadline of 2023, I think fans really feel let down by Mike Elias. I think fans feel really let down by the organization as a whole to say, okay, you talked, and Elias even used the term liftoff at the trade deadline the previous year when they traded Mancini and they traded Jorge Lopez. And yeah, the players were a little taken aback by that. And he, I think they were in Arlington. He flew there, talked to the players, and there was all of that. But he said, from this point on, it's liftoff. And I think everyone's kind of been waiting to see something that is a better representation of that. And the moves that have been made largely haven't really worked out. Corbin Burnes worked out, and then guys got hurt. But you look at the trade deadline in 23, where they clearly needed a bullpen piece, and they got Fuji, who wasn't even good enough to be on the postseason roster, despite the fact that they lost Felix Bautista in the period of time from the time Fuji arrived and then was sent home,
Well,
essentially.
the Jack Flaherty thing wasn't
The
good either.
Jack Flaherty thing, same thing. I mean, so you look there and you say, man, you had this opportunity with this team that was fantastic, and what did you do? I mean, that wasn't a great sign. To his credit, he got Corbin Burnes. Great move. Still do that move 100 out of 100 times, even knowing that Corbin Burnes moved on. And by the way, the Brewers right now, DL Hall can't stay healthy. And Joey Ortiz, despite a really good first half of last season, go look at his numbers. For as much as we're talking about Kyle Stowers thriving in Miami, Joey Ortiz has kind of fallen apart with the Brewers. So Brewers fans are kind of looking at that deal and saying, wow, we didn't get a whole lot for, even if it was a rental, we didn't get a whole lot for a year of Corbin
Brewers
Burnes there.
fans, you gave us scope first, now this. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, sure. But yeah, you just, you look at that, and that's where I've kind of questioned, and I think a lot of people have this question, and a lot of fans have presented this, and I think this is a very fair criticism slash question at this point in time. Mike Elias did a really good job building this thing, and that's assuming that these young players, maybe they're not all going to make it, but I think they're better than what they're showing right now. What, how, now you got to figure out how to get back on track, but the rebuild part, Elias did a good job with. I think it's everything that's happened since then, where you look at this thing and say, some general managers are builders, and then you have other general managers or guys that get you over the hump. I've kind of used Dave Dombrowski, even though, it doesn't necessarily align with his entire career, but I kind of look at where he was when he arrived in Philadelphia. I guess that was about 5 years ago at this point in time. The Phillies at that point in time, had spent some money. They had gotten Bryce Harper. They had some veteran players, but they also had some young players. And you kind of looked at their mix, and it didn't feel like they were in a position where they were going to get over the hump. And Dave Dombrowski arrived. Now, granted, Philadelphia is a huge market. They have an owner that spends a lot of money. So there's always that element to this when you're talking about teams like the Orioles that are not a big market team. I mean, they're just not. And, we've talked about that. Masson isn't the cash cow that it was 20 years ago, obviously.
One
But
of the more reasons I want the ownership and the leadership to sit in front of me and everyone
fair
else
enough,
and say
sure.
what they are. What are you?
But looking at the general manager, Dave Dombrowski to me is not a guy that is a rebuild kind of general manager. Certainly at this point in his career. I mean, I think that's kind of what happened in Boston. He was there, and then the Red Sox entered a transition period, and like it was over, and he was gone. So that's my question at this point. I mean, I don't know if Mike Elias, I don't know if he has the chops to make the kind of moves that get you over the hump and to not just build something to a certain point of contention, but then to take your contender and make it better and make it better and better position it. It feels like he's so risk averse, although at the same time, people like me have called him risk averse in a lot of ways, but he spent a lot of money this offseason relative to what the payroll had been. Didn't necessarily spend it well, to
He
put it
took a risk on a
kindly,
Japanese pitcher. He took a risk last
which
summer dealing
worked.
for the kid Rogers. He took a risk, like
But
dealing on T.
at the same time, you also look at some of these prospects and you start to question, have you held on to some of these guys too long? The fact that you only got Trevor Rogers for Kyle Stowers and Connor Norby might suggest that maybe you should have dealt those guys a year earlier than you did. We're having that same conversation right now about Kobe Mayo, whether he ultimately pans out and plays for the Orioles or whether he's ultimately dealt for pitching or something, whatever. You start to question now that Mayo struggled last summer, albeit small sample size. I'm not trying to bury the kid. He's still young. He still very well could figure it out and be a heck of a major league player. But his first few cups of coffee in the major leagues have not gone well, to put it slightly, to put it mildly. So, there's another example. Could you have traded Kobe Mayo a year ago, year and a half ago, for something of greater value that really could have helped your team last year and this year? It's fair to ask that. So I think that's where I think fans feel betrayed, that it's like you got to this point and then it's just plateaued. And now it's going backwards, right? It plateaued second half of last year and it's gone backwards since then. So that's where I think fans feel a level of betrayal. And now that's where, if you're Mike Elias, you've got to figure out how to start getting this thing back on track. And kind of the entry level thing to do is to make changes with the coaches, to make a managerial change. I don't want to say that to, I don't say that to be insensitive, but because I don't think by any means it's all their fault, but I'm not seeing enough evidence that Brandon Hyde has the answer to get these guys playing better. Because again, the pitching, pitching's awful. And can it get better? Sure, but it's still not going to be very good. I mean, that's just the truth. These guys, they're not terribly talented pitchers either, in terms of stuff and all that. But where they are supposed to be really talented is on the position player side. And even with some of the injuries that certainly haven't helped, but it's not like their entire starting nine has been out. That's where I look at this and say, I'm not seeing Brandon Hyde have a solution here. I'm not
They
seeing these
don't have
hitting
an
coaches have a
all-star right
solution.
now. They don't have a player who's played well enough to be an all-star, like literally anywhere on the field. Like,
I
that's
mean,
an amazing thing.
I'd have to look at like DHs. Like, would Ryan O'Hearn be the best DH in the AL? I mean, but if we're asking that question, it's like, holy cow, that's how bad
That's a
it is
last
right
place
now.
team. Luke,
And
we're going to take a break. You can find Luke all weekend. He'll be following staying up all night like the Boomtown Rats out in Anaheim. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week at the Maryland party out at the pool at the Encore. We will have the Back to the Future scratch-offs to give away on the 28th when we reconvene at Fadley's. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. Happy weekend. Enjoy yourself. Mother's Day. Do something nice for your mama.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and especially to mine.
Don't
And my
watch the
sister
Orioles. That
also, I
won't
want
be
to say that
happy
too.
watching the Orioles. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.